My name is Pastor Amanda. I'm one of the pastors here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. I'm so glad you found us online and decided to worship with us today. If you are newer or new to Park Ridge Presbyterian Church and you're ready to take a next step, I have three next steps for you. One is subscribe to this YouTube channel. That way you'll get a notification every time we have a new weekly worship service. You can also follow us on social media. We're at Park Ridge Presby on Instagram and Facebook. And one of the things I tell people is that if you follow us on social media, if you're somebody who's on Instagram or Facebook, you follow our social media, you get to see what it's like to really do life with us. These are really our church members, and these are really the things that we get to do and share together. So if you're still thinking about getting involved and taking a next step, try following us online. And then the third thing you can do, if you're ready, if you want somebody to reach out to you, if you want us to know that you're out there paying attention, go to parkridgepresby.org/getconnected and fill out the I'm New Here form. Today's service, we're talking about leadership, leadership in the church, but also just leadership in the world and leadership in our lives. What makes a good leader? And how do we know if a leader is worth following? Are you a good leader when you like make it to the C-suite, when you have a fancy job title, a fancy office, and a big salary? Is it when your team finds you reliable and trustworthy? Are you a good leader when you can command a big audience, talk on a big stage, cast a big vision? Or are you a good leader when you deliver on the details needed to pull off a big vision? Do good leaders get paid? Or are good leaders like those thankless volunteers working behind the scenes to make our lives easier? What does the voice of a leader sound like? And what does a leader look like? I think if you were to ask all of us, we would have different answers to all of those questions. And especially given when we were born, when we grew up, when we started the workforce or started a family or became independent from our parents, we're gonna have different answers to those questions and different answers to kind of what leaders we have had in our lives. And are they leaders we wanna emulate? Are they leaders we wanna be like? Or are there leaders we are learning lessons from and leaders we don't wanna be like? For better or worse, the parents I had, the schools I attended, the church I belonged to, taught me to think I could be a leader in any space of anything I ever wanted. All of these environments, they encouraged me, believed in me, and gave me spaces to practice leadership from a ridiculously young age. And all of that has been a privilege and an opportunity that's helped me be the leader that I am today. And it served me well in the world as a leader. But I don't think the standards of leadership that inspire me the most or the ones that shape who I want to be as a leader are the standards of the world. I think they're a different set of standards, a different kind of leader. And those are the standards of what it's like to be called to live as a leader, as a follower of Jesus, and live as a Christ follower who's trying to emulate a certain kind of standard of how we lead our lives and lead our families, and yes, lead in the community and in the world. Within the church, you can find every kind of leadership style and every kind of leadership talent. And this looks different in all different kinds of churches, because there's really big churches that have all different kinds of teams that are kind of dividing and conquering the work of the church. And then there's kind of medium-sized churches where you have a leadership board that might make decisions at a high level, but then people volunteer in lots of different ways in the church, maybe picking a couple different teams. And then in small churches, it seems like it is all hands on deck and everybody's a leader, everybody's involved, everybody is responsible for the work of the church. I don't think it matters what size of church you're in or what style your church worships in or what denomination you're a part of. I think the spirit of Christian leadership that we're encouraged to live by is the same, no matter what kind of church you find yourself in. So in today's scripture we're going to read today, it's from 1 Timothy, and that's a letter that the Apostle Paul writes to his kind of student and disciple, his co-worker in spreading the gospel, and his name was Timothy. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy and identifies two different kinds of leaders in the church and lifts up kind of the characteristics and the qualities of what makes a good leader in a faith community. I'm going to read that from the Message translation by theologian and pastor Eugene Peterson. And in this passage, or in the message translation, it identifies those leadership groups as leaders and servants. That's the language that's used, a leader and a servant. Now, in other translations of scripture, the words are translated elder and deacon. And those are the names that we Presbyterians identify as special leadership groups in the church, elders and deacons. And for the purpose of all of us being able to see ourselves and find ourselves in the scripture, I'm going to read the scripture passage having changed and updated gender-neutral language. You know, scripture was written in a particular historical context, a time and a place where the gender roles between women and men, they were very different. And so for the purpose of us all finding ourselves as leaders in the church and the ways that God can use all of us for our unique giftedness, I've changed the language in that way. So let's listen to 1 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, again from the Message translation. It says, if anyone wants to provide leadership in the church, good. But there are preconditions. A leader must be well thought of, committed to their family, cool and collected, accessible and hospitable. They must know what they're talking about, not be overfond of wine, not pushy but gentle, not thin-skinned, not hungry for money. They must handle their own affairs, attentive to their own family and having their respect. For if someone's unable to handle their own affairs, how can they take care of God's church? They must not be a new believer, lest the position go to their head or the devil try to trip them up. Outsiders must think well of them, or else the devil might figure out a way to lure them into their trap. The same goes for those who want to be servants in the church. Serious, not deceitful, not too free with the bottle, not in it for what they get out of it. They must be reverent before the mystery of the faith, not using their position to try to run things. Let them prove themselves first. If they show they can do it, take them on. No exceptions are to be made based on gender. Same qualifications, serious, dependable, not sharp-tongued, not overfond of wine. Servants in the church are to be committed to their spouses, attentive to their own children, diligent in looking after their own affairs. Those who do this servant work will come to be highly respected, a real credit to this Jesus faith. As Timothy is planting new churches and helping new believers live out this faith in Jesus, Paul writes this letter because he wants them to know what kind of community leaders they're going to need. People who will hold a high standard for the community, and be trustworthy and guiding for those who are new believers. Paul touches on a variety of things that reflect the life and character of a good leader: responsible, gentle, resilient, faithful, relational. I love that the standard for both this deacon, this servant leader, and this elder, this leadership type, this governing leader, both of them are held to standards of how they live out their relationships in their own family. Like how somebody is at home will be an indicator of how they are in a church or in an organization or in a business. That's where our true character lies, is how we treat the ones that are closest to us. And so Paul's saying, pay attention. Pay attention if they are good to their families, if they are respected by their children, this will be somebody worthy of following. The Presbyterian Church has two specific leadership roles that we recognize. Today in our in-person worship service, we are going to be ordaining and installing a new class of officers who are going to serve the church as both deacons and elders. In our tradition, deacons are called to lead the congregation in compassion, witness, and service, representing the ministry of the church in the world and the presence of the world in the church. And then we have ruling elders, and these people are called to nurture the common life of the people of God through their gifts of discernment and governance. At PRPC, our deacons lead our caring ministries and many of our hospitality ministries. They're a vital part of what makes this church feel like family. The elders make up our session. That's the board that governs this church. They help make important decisions. They hold us accountable to the mission and vision of the church, and they help lead us into the future where God is calling us to go. We have some incredible leaders in the church who have helped us get to where we are today, and I'm excited about this new class of officers who's going to help lead us into the future and being faithful to where God is calling us to go. This is not the only place that we have church leaders serving. Yes, we recognize deacons and elders in this specific way, and we ask people to serve in this serious three-term kind of, in the ordination, we like ask them to promise all these things, and we pray over them, and we lay hands on them. It's this moment, and it's significant. But God uses all different kinds of leaders in the church. There are a million different ways God can use you to serve in the church, and here are just some of the places God is using leaders at PRPC. Our leaders are serving in church basements, teaching 5-year-olds and 4-year-olds about God's love. We have leaders serving in back offices, counting offering that comes in on Sunday morning and writing checks to vendors and making sure that we are accountable to our financial commitments. We have leaders making coffee and setting out coffee as this extension, this warmth of hospitality every Sunday morning. We have leaders taking meals to Lincoln Park Community Shelter every month. We have leaders showing up week after week to work at Irving Park Community Food Pantry. We have leaders showing up on Zoom screens once a month for our session meetings. We have leaders setting tables and washing dishes after funerals. We have leaders greeting every new face that walks in on a Sunday morning and tries to remember your name and connect you to this place. We have leaders leading us in worship through our band and our choir ministry, helping us experience the presence of God and be told the story of the gospel again through song. We have leaders inspiring trust in our congregation every time you invite friends to worship with you or to our special event or send a kid to camp. We have leaders who are raising money for our church, who've helped with a capital campaign and who help us be faithful to stewardship, faithful stewards of our financial resources so that we can be financially involved in what God is doing here. There's a leadership role for everybody in the church. I'm so grateful for all of the leaders here at Parkridge Presbyterian Church, and we especially ask God's blessing over this new class of deacons and elders, who we ask will faithfully serve out their terms and help share what they love and what inspires them about this church. And we pray that we see God's evidence of faithfulness through them. Amen.